Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Suicide Squad destroys all August records, and there's so much TV time news, we might need another show today on DC Movie News.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's DC Movie News.
Hello!
Hello!
What is up, everybody out there in the DC world? Wow, today the news just kept on coming. I'm Adam Gertler. I'm so happy today to be joined by Elena Jordan, cosplay queen herself. Hello, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you too. I want to hear all about your Suicide Squad opinions and everything else. Yes. So, yeah.
And of course, that other gorgeous female that I'm burdened to be next to is the crown jewel of the DC universe, Miss Roxy Stryer.
Burdened?
I was being facetious.
It was sarcastic.
Oh,
that's sarcasm.
I forgot. I haven't been on the East Coast in a long time now.
I know. We wish Mike Kalinowski and Johnny LaQuasto could be here, but they can't. But if I had to be with anybody, Gorgeous Ladies is not so bad. Come on, who's jealous of me? Only everybody? What is
One, two, buckle my shoe.
Holy understatement, Batman.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I cannot believe that going right into this show, like up to the minute we came on here, there was still news dropping.
Couldn't even keep it coming.
No, could not even stop. So, you know, it's going to be very difficult for me to wait all the way until the end to get to TV time
today. We got to move through it, but I mean, there is so much stuff to talk about. Thank you, Adam Sloan, for reaching out to us too, friend of the show, for trying to get us a lot of these last-minute news items that just kept pouring in. I had a great week. I just want to say, as some of you know, I was with, you know, I do sausages with Doghouse in one of my lives. I'm a chef for Doghouse. And I got to have worlds combined this week as we got to cater for and cover the Sausage Party premiere in Westwood, which meant that we fed 2,500 people, which is a lot.
Wow.
But then at some point, I got to be on the red carpet as sort of like Doghouse TV's reporter. I got to talk to Craig Robinson, Paul Rudd, Evan Goldberg, Seth Rogen,
awesome.
Nick Kroll, who I'm a huge fan of. Like, it was amazing. And the movie's really funny.
I hear it's really
It's really, really funny. And, yeah. And it actually reminds me of, like, when This Is the End came out, it was like a week before Man of Steel. And at the time, I think I enjoyed This Is the End more just because I wasn't expecting it. Now I've come around and, yeah, Man of Steel sticks with me a lot more than This Is the End. I'm not saying that, but...
Well, congrats on your week. That's awesome.
Thank you so much. Awesome. How was your week, ladies?
Oh,
my God.
I forgot.
What? Is this the female orgasm I've heard so much about? What is going on?
No, that's like a little... I mean, it was a little high-pitched for that.
It is a myth. Okay, go on.
So, I was standing outside of Starbucks this week, and this guy came up to me, and he said, "Are you Roxy Stryer?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "From DC Movie News?"
What?
And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "I watch your show every week. I love you guys.
Awesome.
He said, "Do you mind if we talk about Suicide Squad for a minute?" I said, "Of course." So we sat, we talked about Suicide Squad for a minute, and then he went on his way. But he loved our show. His name was Dax. So I'm really excited that he was
there. All right,
Dax. I think that was what he said his name was.
Thanks for not being creepy.
But isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So That was awesome that I bumped into a fan of the show outside of Starbucks.
So excited.
Thank you, Starbucks. That was my week news.
Well, anything exciting you want to bring up, Elena?
I'm like, I have nothing to contribute.
Well, you're excited.
Talk about your dress, Cthulhu.
Oh,
talk about
you.
This.
Yeah, just got this in the mail.
Oh, hey.
Yesterday.
I actually thought it was Swamp Thing.
Cthulhu.
You would have been so much more excited if it was Swamp Thing.
A little bit.
Oh, I did meet David Harewood. That was cool. He's really, really sweet.
We all had good weeks then.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
So, guys, we're going to kick it off with some good news, some positive news. Suicide Squad, whatever you might think about it, there's one thing you can't say it's not, and that's a hit. The film has been breaking records all week. There were some people that noticed it had a sharp decline, I know, from Saturday to Sunday or Friday to Saturday, I forget which, but it had a record-breaking August Monday. It had a record-breaking...
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
King August Tuesday. As of now, the film is over $326 million that it has grossed. And on a film that maybe cost, you know, $175, even if you double that for advertising it, any way you slice it, this film is making money. And that's great because it means that even if, you know, you were disappointed with some things or you wanted more out of the film, it means that DC movies as a whole are not in trouble.
Okay, but let me ask you guys, because here's the question. We got the same really bad Rotten Tomatoes score for this movie and BVS.
Same.
Now, BVS is known as a relative flop because we didn't make the $1 billion we thought we would. Suicide Squad, on the other hand, is now known as a hit. With both of those things being critically slammed, why do you feel like Suicide Squad is doing so well in the box office?
Well, a couple of reasons. Here, one, be careful with the word flop. I think the best thing that you could say about BVS is a disappointment. Yes,
right,
they
true.
Wanted more, but it is not a flop. The film was definitely profitable, and it's still at the top of the home video charts right now.
That's a good point.
In fact, there's two Batman films. Killing Joke is also charting right now, so that's pretty cool. The movie, the estimates were that BVS, all said and done, was like something like $450 million by the time you're advertising the film and made the film. Very protracted filming schedule. There were delays, which probably made it cost a lot more. So just in that sense, it seems like it's going to be more profitable from a percentage-wise. It also seems that, you know, we're going to talk about this a little more. There have been a lot of reports as to what Warner Brothers came in and helped change the tone as a reaction to BVS. And if nothing else, it wasn't as dark and dour. So people, even if there is a lot to critique, and I had a lot to critique too, there's more of a sense of walking away with fun. With a smile on your face.
I definitely agree. I think another big aspect, too, is the merchandising. Because for the first time ever, when I went and saw Suicide Squad, they actually had a merch table in the movie theater. I'd never seen that before. And they were selling. People were coming out of the movie, had a great time.
What kind of stuff?
There's $45 Suicide Squad sweatshirt. $25 t-shirt.
It wasn't like Harley Bat, like nothing like that.
No, it was like t-shirts, like commemorative. I went and saw.
Not to mention Hot Topic, I think, is like full of, right?
Yeah. That was a big thing I was going to say too, was the Hot Topic partnership. That was something, you know, you didn't really see with BVS. You didn't have the huge marketing push. You didn't have 50,000 cosplayers all lined up to be Gail Godot, but you do have that to be Margot Robbie.
Hmm.
So I think part of that too is
nobody's doing the Enchantress dance like Adam.
Oh God, I love that people have caught on to the Enchantress dance and started doing it, because I was like, what's going on? But at the same time, I thought she was really hot. I mean, so it's like, I thought this is the stupidest villain I've ever seen. I don't know what these people want. And then there seems to be like a video game character walking around there. But man, she's a good-looking girl, I have to say.
I mean, she's gorgeous. She's a model, but was it the dumbest villain of all time? Maybe. You liked her?
I mean, I didn't love her, but I didn't think that she was as horrible as everybody is saying. I feel like there's a little bit more explanation thrown in, and just, I know they didn't want too much exposition.
Right.
But I feel like in that case, it needed a little bit more to kind of frame what was going on with her, instead of it just being random, like, and now she can make an army of bubbly people.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I've heard some people say this too, that it's just like, you just kind of want to know what the mission is. You want the stakes and the threat to be so much that, like, you want to create the sense that, like, oh my God, our only chance is to put all the villains in play here. Mm-hmm. And some people have said that that threat wasn't really created, and it was just like, all right, it just happened. And, like, I was confused as to what they were doing. Like, did they go to save Amanda Waller? And then that switched. Like, I really didn't know what mission they were on at first.
It was like if you play a video game kind of drunk, and you're like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I know that I'm going the right way.
That confuses me a lot. Playing video games drunk could be like, I get the spin sometimes. It's not good to do.
I loved the movie though. I thought that it was great. I just feel like they should have
the L word.
You really love
L.
it.
I really did.
And are you a big DC fan? Are you like a comic book fan? I know you're a big cosplay fan, but like how much into the source material are you?
I'm big into comics, especially like Harley Quinn is my girl. Like I've done panels on the evolution of Harley. And so this was what I think that's why I like the movie so much, is because that was kind of my big thing, was I was like, just don't
get her right.
Yeah, because I love Black Canary so much, and I feel like Arrow kind of slipped my throat on that one a little bit.
I was just reading about the Harley evolution of starting from the soap opera and Paul Dini finding her, Arlene Sorkin, on there.
Oh, really?
I didn't know about that whole story.
No, I don't know
crazy.
That story
Yeah,
either.
So he was watching, and Arlene Sorkin was a friend of his who voices Harley, and at the time she was in some dream sequence in this like clown outfit, and he was like, that's it. I think it was Days of Our Lives or something crazy.
That is amazing. Yeah, well, you know, that's one thing that I have to say. When you listen to all the feedback, people seem to be pro Harley. Joker,
definitely.
Very divided. I would say more people were pro Joker, but I was just talking about our friend Hal Lublin, who was supposed to be on the show today, which will make some of you happy and some of you angry because some of you hate him and I love him. But he had an audition at 3:45. He did not like Suicide Squad, and he hated the Joker.
I don't understand hating the Joker. I mean, we'll talk about this. Let's talk. Go into the
Okay, so
the
first thing is, like, there was a lot of Joker left on the table.
Yeah.
And Jared Leto has been very outspoken about this, as has Margot Robbie. There was
not
a lot
Joker
of footage. I agree with you.
Okay, this is what he said. He said, I think that I brought so much to the table in every scene that it was probably more about filtering all the insanity because I wanted to give a lot of options. And I think there's probably enough footage in this film for a Joker movie. If I were to die tomorrow, maybe the studio would roll something out.
Oh my God.
That's
that's
intense.
Really strong words.
Considering that Heath Ledger did die before that film came out, like
I feel like that was it seems like pretty bitter. I mean, I would feel the same way if I saw my face on billboards and posters and the side of trucks, then I go to watch the movie that I spent months filming. That I like mentally was a little
unsafe.
I hear you, but it's not his movie. It's
called
Suicide
Contact,
Squad.
I haven't, to be fair, I haven't heard how he said that. And these are kind of comments that can go either way based on tone. You know what I mean? Like, he could have been sort of sarcastic and been like, oh, you know, they could have done a whole Joker movie with it.
Are you picturing if I were to die tomorrow, maybe the studio would roll something out? Is that how you thinking he's saying it?
Yeah, maybe a little something like that. He also agreed. Jared Leto also agreed with me, which is what I said, and I didn't expect to think this going into the film, but I wanted it to be rated R.
Yeah.
And he agreed because, and the biggest problem I had was I didn't like the duty monsters that the Enchantress made.
Duty monsters by doing her potty dance.
Yeah, and I thought, like, I don't know, I just thought some more threat. I thought, like, being able to go there a little bit more would have been appropriate for this film. I'm sure that even though that's my opinion, that is the wrong opinion because, again, the movie is making this much money, although didn't hurt Deadpool. So I'm just saying.
Well, the thing.
Go on.
I think part of it too, because a lot of people go back to Deadpool for that. And Deadpool, it's like the whole thing with Suicide Squad, there's so many characters that you have to have just kind of one clear storyline. And I feel like to make it rated R, they would have had to throw in a little bit more that would have potentially muddied it, and because they were trying to make it for a broader audience anyway.
It was more about the violence for me that I wanted to be a little more rated R.
Because bloodless violence is just annoying after a while.
It was like, why aren't you bleeding, though? Like, where,
it's always
where
like
that blood, though?
And listen, I know that what I'm saying is completely absurd because they do not want to, Warner Brothers, I'm saying, they don't want to start putting out these movies and then be like, oh no, you 15-year-olds, you can't see this one, but you could see Justice League. Like, they don't want to do that.
Yeah,
they want to build the
in.
Same audience from movie to movie.
Which is smart from you know, from
that
standpoint.
Now,
from,
and the reason why I don't think Leto is that bitter is because he's still been open about things that he wants his character to be doing. He wants to be in the Batman solo film. In fact, he wants his character to go up against the Big Blue. Jared Leto thinks that the Joker would be a great foil to Henry Cavill's Superman.
Well, you don't think that is maybe him pitching storylines, a.k.a. put me in, coach, I'm ready to play?
Well, I feel like a little bit, too, because at this point, it was almost like all of the interviews he was giving before Suicide Squad was, okay, you guys, you trash-talked Ledger, too, you trash talked a lot of people. We'll see. We'll let the studio speak for me when they release the movie. And then, you know, he's like, they got my back, they got my back. And then they're calling it a cameo appearance now, like a lot of people, because of how short it was. I would do the exact same thing. Go, okay, there's a lot of hype around this character. You didn't really use it. Can we please inject a little Joker into some sort of storyline?
And I got to say, personally, I don't wish there was more Joker, because I think Joker was used great to support Harley Quinn's character in this film. I don't think we really got the Joker's point of view, so I'm surprised that people are so anti-Joker and anti his motivation, because I don't really know them. I do appreciate that he's more of a mob boss, he's more of a criminal than Heath Ledger's total anarchist character. I think that was a completely different take, and it was awesome. It's almost more like Jack Nicholson, who was a straight up gangster who just, like, you know, fell into some acid and then, like, really enjoyed paintings and Prince music.
Yeah. I did like his reasoning behind going against the going against Superman. He says the Joker and Superman would be interesting to see on screen because Superman's so stoic and morally centered. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Joker would really enjoy that. Superman's the classic hero and Joker is the opposite. Any classic hero would be really interesting.
I still wish, I still am not thrilled with Luthor, and I feel like there was too much crazy in Luthor. No. Because now I feel like compared to the Joker, it's like there's too much similarities there. Like, I don't know that I like the dithering, blithering, like, Luthor, like, who's just manic and insane. Like, I want a cold, calculating, cool Luthor that is, you know, very opposite of the Joker. So for me, that characterization still is not a favorite of mine.
Okay.
Another big fan of Jared Leto's Joker is his co-star Margot Robbie.
I mean, how crappy would it be if she wasn't? If she was just coming out like, nah, that dude sucks. Yeah. So.
Well, especially after she got so much screen time,
and
too.
Love.
A lot. Yeah, and I think very disproportionately so.
Arguably, the most pressure was on getting that character right. It had the most hype before the film. People are aware of Harley Quinn.
I don't think the studio even realized how big. I feel like same thing with Deadpool. Like, this character that people have been cosplaying for 20 plus years that people are in love with.
Yeah.
I don't think they even realized. I think they were thinking the Joker was going to be the standard of right. how people judged it. And it wasn't until they started releasing some of the marketing and people were like, we can't wait for Harley, that they were like, oh.
Which is such a victory for women right now.
Yeah.
Because when you've got things like Ghostbusters that are really doing poorly, or Enchantress, everybody's hating the female villain.
Yeah.
It's really nice to have Harley here. But this is something I didn't know. And I don't even know if we ever touched upon this on the show.
Well, let's touch it.
So much longer
let's
ago.
Let's touch it now, guys.
Do you
we're
know
going
to
touch.
They offered the role of Harley to Emma Roberts, and she turned it down because she was filming Scream Queens. And they offered her the role, and she turned it down.
What?
There's a lot of other people that they were looking at, but they straight up offered Emma the role.
Can't believe that.
And
doesn't seem like a big enough star.
It seems like such a... Well, but Margot Robbie, her name was huge after Wolf of Wall Street, but she wasn't, like, in everything. She wasn't a huge star. I just can't picture Emma doing that. I just can't picture her.
I think it would not have worked.
Yeah, I think it would have been a different direction.
Especially if it was paired with Leto's Joker.
What do you ladies think about the very... I know, my favorite image of the film is when she jumps into the vat of chemicals and then he, like, looks at himself and I love the way he just, like, flies in there.
Me too.
That shot of him flying in is just the best thing. But what a harmless vat of chemicals that all it does is, like, slightly bleach your skin and give you a permanent paleness. Like, there's no distortion. There's no, like, facial. Like, it really was, like, the best possible vat of chemicals to dive in.
Like, let's go in together
just
kind of thing?
Just the pigment removal of acid. It doesn't, like, you know, cause the, you know.
It doesn't scar you. It doesn't, right.
Like, at least, you know, in Tim Burton's Batman, like, his face got warped and, like, the rictus grin and all
that.
That's
the ultimate irony that Tim Burton is the one not doing the white. It out makeup for the first time.
Exactly, right? That's true. Let's see. What else? So,
I will say one thing about the Joker, though.
Please.
Because if they are going to be doing the sequel that Margot Robbie is talking about, that she's funding, that, you know, they're already, they've lined up the writers, the directors, they've got everything to go, and they want it to be set female focused, either Birds of Prey or her relationship with Ivy. The Joker was not odious enough, I think, in this
portrayal.
What
do you mean by that?
Because he loved her back. And in the comics, she's pregnant. She has a baby. She's gone for a year. She comes back. He doesn't even notice she was gone at all. In the time that
it's a different relationship.
It's a completely different relationship. She'll walk in
if
he doesn't get what she's
one.
Doing. Yeah, and it's supposed to be like the ultimate her breaking free from this abusive relationship. And instead, you know, you're seeing all these people now like Joker Harley, hashtag relationship goals. And you're like, you keep saying creepy. That word. I'm not quite sure you know what it means.
One thing that you could say is like, this is not a Josh Trank situation. Or even Zack Snyder. I mean, Ayer has been a really great company man supporting the cut of the film. He made some comments about the alternative cuts, and there was a lot of different movies. He said the original script started in Bel Rev. It was more of a linear story at first. I think they focused more on an Enchantress in an original version, it's been said. He also commented that the Joker owes his damage tattoo to the Boy Wonder. Basically say, now this is kind of weird, like that they just kind of like accept people because audiences at large don't know that. Like, isn't that something, do you think that that's something that should have been made a little bit more clear for audiences that the Joker killed Robin or?
Any sort of flashback would have cleared that up in two, I mean, just show Batman smashing his teeth and then boom, now he has a grill. Okay, that's explained. Mm. Then like,
I kind of would have liked that. I would have liked to see a bloody mouth.
It would have been cool to see like even the transition, like if they had the camera on the fist to the mouth and pull out, then now to the grill, you know, but like just a passage of time.
What you wouldn't want to see is that happen and no blood in the mouth. So if we're going to keep it PG-13, and we're going to get that.
You know, and I know you can show blood in PG-13, but I don't know if it's like as a result of gunshots or stabbings or exactly how it, like, it, you know.
It's all subjective. It's the rating system is all based extreme on a bunch violence. Of, yeah.
And
like,
actually, you know, I know comedian Mike Birbiglia was very like noted this week for criticizing the PG-13 rating for Suicide Squad. Well, his film Don't Think Twice, which I hear is amazing and I'm going to see, is about you know, there's some pot smoking and things like that, you know, so there's not a lot of violence in his film, and he gets an R rating and this film gets a PG-13. Ayer also went on to say that like the Joker's not a cameo, he's not the A story though, so it's not something that people should be caught up on and, you know, having expected more Joker or something like that.
All right, what do we got next, Adam?
Okay, moving on. Let's see. I lost my little thing here.
So let's talk about Suicide Squad.
Creator of the Suicide Squad, Joan Ostrander, not pulling an Alan Moore here and not saying disassociate myself from this work. He says that critics were biased to not like the film.
Yeah, so I got the quote here.
Okay, what did the man say?
My problem is that, at least with some of the media reviews, is that the critic is also tired of superhero and tentpole films and overtly or covertly would like to see their end. Look, I get it. They have to see all the films out there and they must be tired of all the blockbusters. Mm-hmm. But he basically what he's saying is like these people are kind of done with the genre, which would make sense if they were giving bad reviews to the Marvel movies.
Right. Civil War, Deadpool, both were reviewed very well.
Right.
And they did a better job at pleasing larger audiences. You can't argue that, like whether you liked it or not. I will say that I think DC is taking bigger swings and I think they're continuing to dial it in. I think there was only so much course correction that could have been done with Suicide Squad, which had already deep into production before Batman v Superman was even released.
People forget.
A lot of the changes and the learning is going to be reflected in Wonder Woman and Justice League, which we see. And despite BVS's reaction, Wonder Woman still was the big talk trailer coming out of Comic-Con. Justice League still won people over. So I think the reason why it's so exciting that the film is a financial hit, it means that people are still going. And now if we can make the films better and so that they appeal to more people, I think that's only going to make everybody happier and we're going to get more different types of DC films moving forward.
Different strokes for different folks.
Now, I know this exactly. Mm-hmm. David Ayer... possibly, here's an interesting story. Yeah, you want to say, now what's the name of this band? Because I don't want to get it wrong.
Die Antwood?
Die Antwood style. So apparently, we think we have a video here that we're going to go to.
That Zach will pull up.
And I guess they're saying, did Ayer jack the style for Harley and Joker?
And I know it's small on there, but Zach, is there any way you could read part of this Instagram comment that they wrote? The band was pissed and put up an Instagram post.
They weren't honored.
No, they were pissed.
They were like, this is our unique style.
Zach, is that possible?
I can try to interpret.
Okay.
Yes, David Ayer, you jockin' our style. Callin' Ninja up before your movie came out, pretendin' to be down so it looks okay when you bite our black and white graph style and our opening sequence to Shinawam and all the little tiny details you nibbled that other people won't see, but we notice.
Okay, great.
That is exactly how they said it, too. Like,
those guys should have been in this film. I'm reading that. They should definitely be on the Suicide Squad. I want to hear that.
Okay, but you got to look at this video because I was like, all right, they're probably like exaggerating. Not so much.
Okay, okay. I have actually not seen this yet, so I'm very excited.
Not so much. Like the watches.
To copy. Where are they from?
The likeness of something like that. Okay, so this one, whatever.
Okay.
So we've got the open jacket look of the Joker. We've got Harley's watches, which are a dead ringer for that. Same thing here. Everything going on in the wrists is like literally the exact look.
This is the thing. I do feel like they probably used Diane Ward as inspiration, but they also used Debbie Harry. Like, if you've seen the photo of her Rolling Stones cover, it is Harley's exact outfit, just with different words on it.
Cool.
So it's like, okay, man. It's an amalgamation of different things. Yes, she has the watches that Diane Antwoord has, but she literally is wearing the exact same Debbie Harry boy shorts with the belt, with the t-shirt.
I think ultimately this is a good thing for Diane Antwoord because I've never said those words until today, and now they're, you know, aware, so they should be thanking Air.
I think it's a good day for the word jockin', because until now I think it was underrepresented, and now everyone knows
that is going firmly in my vocabulary.
Style.
Also, how honored would you be, Adam, if all of a sudden you saw, like, your look that you rocked in this movie? You'd be like, they watched DC Movie News, and Air liked my look, and he put it in.
I would love that. First, I would need to have a style to do that. Another thing Air explained, by the way, was the pink unicorn used by Captain Boomerang, which was a nice little thing thrown in there. Didn't go into a backstory about it, but he's got a pink unicorn he likes a lot. Turns out Captain Boomerang is a brony, and that's a grown man that's into My Little Pony,
Brony.
Just so you need. So that I like that. Just a little something to throw in there.
I like it.
Next, I want to bring up a really exciting piece of news to me. It looks like, according to the rap anyway, that Man of Steel 2 is happening.
This is exciting to you as in you're being facetious, or exciting as in actually exciting?
It's exciting to me because, and I'll tell you why.
Okay, give it to me.
Now I'm going to play fantasy a little bit. I'm going to play DC movie fantasy. What I want is in Justice League, I want Superman coming at the end. I want him in his black costume or something. I'm thinking maybe we get no Kal-El in the blue
Superman's
costume.
You think Superman's going to come back alive? You don't think he's just dead for the rest of the movies?
I do not think so, no.
Well, one thing about comics is once these heroes die,
they
stay
dead.
Yeah, of course.
Are you girls, now you're a little younger than me, are you familiar with a little film called Star Trek III, The Search for Spock, and then the follow-up Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home?
Yes. Well, Star Trek, yeah. Star Trek. That seems like a whole different group.
So, I never get that right. So, Spock is not in the costume for, like, 3 and 4, and it's so weird, but I remember that as a kid. I'm like, why isn't he not in his Federation costume? And I kind of would like that treatment, and I feel like Man of Steel 2 should go before the second Justice League film, and we get that real Superman character story, like really about the Man of Steel, about his return, about becoming more of the Superman that we know and love, to bring everybody in the camp of Henry as Superman. And I think he's just going to be used in a very conservative way in the Justice League film at the very end. That's what I think. And then I also hope that the two Justice League films are just separate movies, not connected. What do you girls think about this?
How do you feel about, I don't even know your thoughts on Man of Steel, the first movie, so.
I didn't love it. I liked it, didn't love it. I feel like, at this point, I'm hoping that they'll take the feedback that they've gotten from mostly fans instead of, I mean, I know it's going to be a general public consensus because, of course.
But you got to think, when he comes back to life, he's going to be having learned some different things. He's going to be more the Superman we know and love.
I'm excited for that.
I am excited to see the new spin on it, but I'm worried that they are going to hold back instead of really, because, you know, as you mentioned, DC does take some big swings, but sometimes I feel like when they get a lot of backlash for things, they'll be like, okay, well, let's rein it in a little bit. And I don't want them to rein this one in at all. Like, I want the big swing. I want to see something that is different than what we're expecting.
Of our big three, it's been no secret on this show that Henry Cavill is my least favorite between Gal and Ben. So if we can get Henry to give us a different kind of performance, which I'm sure the direction will take it that way based on everything that we know, then I will be excited. But if we get more of the same, why are you giving us a man as
Well? I don't think there's a chance that it's going to be more of the same. I definitely think, and then people have even made say, like David Ayer was even saying, like Zack Snyder's heard your comments. Like they're hearing us talk. Mm-hmm. And I think Cavill is great. I think if there's anything that you don't like, I think it's because of the material he's been given. I think he's dynamite. He might be my favorite of the big three right now. Because I haven't, I'm not.
That is a bold-faced lie.
No, because I haven't seen enough of Gal to say, like, she's my favorite.
Over Ben Affleck's Batman, over Batfleck, you like Henry Cavill.
Listen, there was a lot I didn't love of Batfleck in Batman v Superman. Like, and a lot of it was characterization stuff.
You take that shirt off right now. You take that shirt off and put it on the table.
I'll say, if you're watching, though, like, if there are scenes, I was glued whenever Batman would be on screen. There were a couple times, you know, like,
Superman, we know the warehouse fight was the dopest thing to happen in the entire film, but man, Henry Cavill, like,
Martha?
That dude looks so much like Superman. I really want to see it be great. I'm trying to be optimistic here.
I do think it is material, not actor, and so I think if he's given really good material, he'll be doing
it. And the big question now is, who's going to direct that film? Will Zack Snyder be back, or are they going to get some other visionary director? It's such a distinctive style that defined those films, so we'll have to see.
Eminem.
Let's talk. What's that?
It's going to be Eminem.
Eminem is going to make his directorial debut with Man of Steel 2?
Yeah, guess who's back?
If that happens, you're going to be crazy. Wow. Let's talk about Aquaman. So according to The Wrap, also, the Aquaman villain will be Black Mantis. What do you think about this?
Okay. You know what? I don't think much about this. I'm not shocked. I'm not that surprised. No. I thought that this might be happening. We've talked about this many times. This is happening. Aquaman still seems very far away to me. We have a lot to do to get there. I'm still focused on Wonder Woman.
Excuse me. I said Black Mantis. I meant Black Manta. Black
Manta. Yeah, I know.
I got confused with Black Mamba. Yeah, I was thinking.
I mean, I could see. Or like also maybe you wanted to kiss Black Manta. So Mantis, like a kiss at the end. You feeling for him a little bit? So,
I like it.
You know, so I'm still focused on Flash, Justice League, Wonder Woman. Aquaman is just so far. But I'm very excited because based on what we've seen of Momoa, he is just the most badass. And we need an equally badass villain. This is a weird kind of villain that we've got
going on. It seems
like
this is the only Aquaman villain that anybody could talk about. So it doesn't seem like this is something that you would save.
It's not
it seems
reach.
Like, obvious, right. Like, and then there's been a lot of different origins to this character, too. And including some interesting things. Where his father was actually killed by Aquaman for his trident. So there could be a really nice baked-in rivalry between these two characters.
Revenge storyline.
I know at least in one version, like, he builds that suit so he could swim in the water. Like, he's not a natural... He's not a natural swimmer, so to say. He's not
a
like
natural nautical?
He's not, he's nautical, not a natural nautical. He's not like a Michael Phelps, by the way, like, who's on Metal 22 or 23 right now. Amazing, amazing work going on in Rio right now. With our, do you think Michael Phelps will get a cameo in Aquaman? Because it seems like
that's
if anybody
what I've been
should.
Hearing. Yeah, that's what I've been
is
hearing.
Is that what your sources tell you?
Yeah, and then he's just going to be blowing pot smoke out of the side of the water.
Good for him.
Pot smoke.
James Wan responded to these rumors about Black Manta, and he said, "I don't know where The Wrap is getting their information. I have no comment. My comment is no comment." Which seems to me like
James Wan is killing it for me, though.
He's doing great.
Everything he says. I'm just like, I love the way you phrase that.
Do you have his quote about how he describes Aquaman and how he fits into the world and everything?
Let me pull that up.
So a little bit what he was talking about is he's worked very closely with Zach on BVS, at least in developing how they move. Also, he wants to see what happens in Justice League, and he's a part of that process. He talks about how they're going to communicate underwater, because when your lungs are filled with water, you can't really talk. So talking about it being
this is the
a combination.
That you're talking about?
Yeah,
I actually think it's a brilliant move on Zach and Co. to cast someone like Jason. Immediately, the whole joke aspect of Aquaman goes out of the window.
Yeah.
You have such a muscular, superhero-y character, and one that is almost, to me, in some ways, I look at him like he's kind of the Wolverine in some respect.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Speaking of which, cool thing you've got on there. He's the outsider who gets pulled into the world, and he kind of doesn't want to belong, and he was doing his own thing, and he prided freedom above everything else. That kind of plays nicely into his character. He's like a reluctant superhero, right? He's the reluctant king, basically, or would-be king.
The reluctant king, the would-be king. That, to me, means that there's a great sort of arc. Like, I don't think we're going to find him as the king of Atlantis and all this. Like, he's a reluctant hero. He's more interested in, like, bringing fish to these little villages and things like that. Like, it's, again,
it's like a Hercules story. I'm all about it.
It's really, yeah, exactly. It's a great Hercules story. And I like the Wolverine comparison. Like, kind of like the bad boy of the group, the reluctant
one.
Have
him like an island god almost. Like, all based off of, like, the old island tribal things instead of, like, traditional, like, my fast swimming tights, Aquaman.
And did you hear he's possibly going to be the Crow?
I was in the chat. That's what they were just talking
about. Yeah, so he is in talks to be the Crow, and there's a good chance that the Crow movie will come out before the Aquaman solo movie. I mean, I think that's crazy to be two big headline heroes like that, but more power to him. I mean, I think he'd be great as
the Crow. You don't think that'd be a little distracting? As possible.
You know, I mean, who am I to say? Like, as the audience member, maybe, but for him, I say, go get it, son. You know, I mean, I was sorry that his Conan didn't work out better than it did. Before we move on to anything else, I wanted to let you guys know that the show today is brought to you in part by Blue Apron. If you've ever heard us talk about this before, I personally, I am a chef as one of my actual jobs, and I love Blue Apron. Their mission is to make home cooking accessible to everyone, no matter what level of a cook you are. They use more sustainable foods. They set the highest standards for ingredients. They build a community for home chefs. They've established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the United States. The beef is raised humanely. The seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Chickens are free range. Pork is raised naturally. Regenerative farming practices are used for produce. It can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. This is an amazing thing. They give you meals that average $10 per person. To have ingredients that have those kind of standards, it's so difficult to do. When you go into the grocery and you get like a jumbo pack of food, you don't want to know the antibiotics, the products, the way that food is raised to get you cheap food. This is a brilliant system because they're sending you ingredients that you need. Have you ever used Blue Apron?
I actually ordered it this week for the first time.
Did you use it yet?
And I used my my AfterBuzz Popcorn Talk discount and I got, and it was delicious, and I am very culinarily challenged.
Okay,
me too.
Good.
I
can burn cereal. Like, it's ridiculous. Made, like, the most delicious meal ever.
That's
was
awesome.
Like, pop my collar.
Excellent. Well, just to let you know some of the recent meals that are going on. Like, when you order there are certain meals that are available that they send to you. You have things like spiced pork burgers with goat cheese and cucumber corn salad, summer vegetables and quinoa bowl with fairy tale eggplants, which are like cute little eggplants, shishito peppers, which are like a mild green pepper, and corn, chicken tinga tacos, which is sort of a tinga is like an Indian spice with summer squash and tomato salsa, less than $10 per meal. So what you want to do, go to blueapron.com/boxoffice. Is that our code?
Well, that would be box office. I'm sure that's box office. That's
fine. Is that for box office breakdown?
Yeah, but they're a popcorn talk show, so that's fine. We can give them the
Zach, let us know if we have a different code that people should be using for Blue Apron. But basically, you go on and you get your first three meals free. So if you don't try this, then you hate freedom.
Is that the way that works?
Yeah, exactly.
Then so you gotta try it.
I think we've wrapped up most of our movie topics. And I guess that leaves us with just a few things to talk about.
It's time for Roxy Strata.
Yeah, there it is. I thought we could get away from that.
She thinks that the Flash is fine.
DC movie, it's time to talk. TV time!
Yeah, and by the way, I'm looking at this. Yeah, blueapron.com/boxoffice.
blueapron.com/boxoffice. That's going to get you that code to get those free meals. All right. TV time was exploding today. I don't know what was going on.
The TCAs were going on, and that's why we had an explosion.
Oh, what was going on?
The TCAs.
Ah. What are those?
And the upfronts, and everything CW related was happening, and then Gotham stuff came out, and we've got all of our shows to talk about right now, so I'm going to start breaking this down.
Great.
We're going to start with my favorite bit of information, and this is having to do with Flash and Supergirl, and that's that we're getting a musical crossover episode. Now, let me tell you why I love this so much.
Because please tell me.
I am a massive Glee fan.
Yeah.
I came from the Glee camp, and I
You're
hosted that shows on AfterBuzz. I am a huge Gleek, and if you don't know, Melissa and Grant were both on Glee together. They were both on the show.
So now, this is a big reunion.
They weren't doing it at the same time. Like, they weren't in the same... But they both were on that show for a while. And two of the most amazing voices. We've heard it. We've heard them sing a little bit before. We've done some karaoke on Flash. But I am telling you that... Is somebody excited in there about it, too?
Yeah, somebody's very excited on here.
I'm telling you that this is going to be freaking amazing. Do you guys remember it's like Buffy had their musical episode?
Hush, best episode of anything ever.
If you're going to do a musical episode, it's because you know that you have to knock it out of the park or it's a waste of your time. So doing a Flash Supergirl crossover, we have these amazing voices, not to mention the actor who plays Cisco obviously is a huge Broadway star, came over from Once, and of course, Joe West, who comes from the Broadway world, and Rent also. So it depends on which characters we're using, but we've got so many players. I'm very excited. I love musicals. Adam doesn't seem to be as excited as I am, but that's okay.
Wait, why did you say, man, Adam, why you had to lie? What did I lie about? You tell me. Somebody in the chat room called me a liar.
Oh. No, I think maybe lie down. Like you were just lying on your computer.
Oh, maybe... No, Roxy's saying that Glee is great. I actually don't hate this news because it reminds me of those, like, weird, crazy one-shots that, like, DC would do, you know, where you'd have, like, you know, a random, like, Olympic athlete or someone teaming up, you know, like, these... DC was so great, like, especially in the 50s and 60s about just, like, so many... They were non-canonical, you know, pre-crisis days, that you would get all kinds of crazy stories like this. So I'm interested to see if this is something like Mr. Ms. Piddlicked, or, you know, something like that, like some kind of weird dimension-y kind of thing. Like, I think it could be pretty cool.
It's happening around episode 13, 14, depending on which show it's on, but that's when you can definitely look forward to that. Moving on to some more Flash news, though, guys, because we're adding characters to all of our shows.
God,
we're
so
picking
many
up villains. We've got a new dark speedster villain, Savitar, and apparently, I don't know him, but the story behind Savitar is that he was a Cold War test pilot, and he was struck by lightning.
So this is going to be the dark speedster for this season.
Yes.
We vanquished Zoom. We vanquished Reverse Flash.
Well, we never know because Flashpoint, we don't know who's even at play anymore.
So we don't know if this character is going to be happening during the Flashpoint stuff or after the Flashpoint stuff.
No, not sure, but I know the Flashpoint stuff isn't taking up the whole season. So we're only going to have Flashpoint stuff for a little bit.
And I don't know if we did a news item on it, but somebody from CW did report that Flashpoint is going to affect some of the other shows.
Yes.
And now,
definitely.
Do you think that is how we're going to bring Supergirl into the Flash's world? Or do you think they're going to do that same kind of thing where they only temporarily share a space? Because, and I'll tell you why, because now that we know that Superman's going to be part of the show... Now we have to ask the question, is Superman going to be in the same world as Arrow?
We need it to be temporary. We need Flash and Arrow to be on the same timeline in the same Earth. We need Legends to be the same Earth, different timeline. And we need Supergirl to be different Earth, same timeline. That's what we need to stay.
What do you guys think in the chat room? Do you think that Supergirl and Flash are going to permanently share a world with Superman? Or is it all going to be alternative? Elena, you seem to think that there's no way.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Complicated.
Yeah, I think that it would be too complicated. I think just logistical purposes, I think they would have it as a temporary storyline, garner some attention and split off individual storylines.
It seems like a lot of people in the chat roll are kind of reflecting what I had thought was like, it's just a lot of speedsters.
Yeah, it's a lot of speedsters. Know,
it's a lot.
Especially because we know we're getting Wally and we'll see what happens with Jesse quick.
Yeah.
But moving on to more Flash villains that we're getting. We're getting Mirror Master this season and he seems like it's going to be...
Yeah, that's a big Flash villain. Yeah.
It's a huge Flash villain, but it seems like this is going to be for most of the season, as opposed to the Dark Speedster. I don't know how long he's going to last. Mirror Master seems like they're going to play around for a while. So it's exciting to see that. Everybody ready to move on to Supergirl?
Yeah, let's move on to some Supergirl stuff.
We're moving on to Supergirl. And as you guys know, Supergirl is leaving CBS and moving over to CW, which there has been a lot of controversy about. I know we've talked about it on the show a million times why we thought they would do that if CBS was just dropping the show, if CW picked it up. But it has been said now by Glenn Geller, who is the CBS president of entertainment, that this wasn't like... CBS was dropping it and CW picked it up.
Right.
It was like CBS, who co-owns, they have co-partnership over at CW. This is a win-win for WB. It's a win-win for CBS. You know, everybody's winning in the situation. And if CW didn't want it, he said that didn't mean they wouldn't have put it right back on Monday nights, right back on CBS. It was making 10 million people were watching it every week. So
they basically thought that for CBS, it was the best of both worlds. They're like, we can keep it where it's kind of middling. It is where it's here. Maybe it works better in the CW demographic where all the Berlanti shows are already at home. And they're like, we're not giving up ownership. We're not selling the show. We still profit off of it. So, you know, it sounds like exec talk, but I think it does make the most sense.
I think it's
too.
A good idea because, I mean, that demographic is already built into the CW.
Exactly. And, you know, originally Supergirl was offered to the CW. CW passed on it, and then they out loud said, we really regret passing on this.
Yeah.
It's been doing well. We wish we had it. And now they do. So that's great. You know,
it makes sense with their lineup. Yeah. So I think it'll be good for the show.
I agree. More exciting news on Supergirl. Kevin Smith is directing an episode. So we know he's also directing 3 episodes of Flash this season. But he's
3 or 4.
It may be 4. The reason I said 3 is because I know that we're going to Gorilla City for 3 episodes, and I know he's directing 1 earlier on, but I was hoping that he would do a Gorilla City one. I think it's by trying to put that on him.
Do you think he would put all the gorillas in hockey jerseys?
Yes, I do.
That could be cool.
No, I don't.
I mean, he's a super fan. I listen to a lot of his podcasts, and I know that... This is great for him because his movies have not been received well recently. He's making these different kind of films, and he loves this stuff. And it seems like this could be a great, you know, next act in his career. And I think, you know, it's going to make him a better filmmaker. And, you know, he's working with all these people where I know the guy says, well, I don't make movies for anybody else but myself. But I know that on the inside, you want your movies to be liked by people.
Of course you do. And there were also talks, if you guys remember, about him maybe writing some episodes of either Arrow or Flash. So let's see how involved Kevin Smith does get in our CW TV universe. I feel like he doesn't want to touch Gotham right now. But we can keep him in the CW universe for a little bit.
Cool.
If he went to Gotham.
Well, I think if he just wrote in general,
popped in and was a regular writer. And
Much more TV news to get to. What else is it? What are we on?
Still on Supergirl, Chris Wood's playing Mon-El, who is
an Mon-El,
which is an alien race similar to the Kryptonians, the Daxamites, and he's going to be kind of similar to Superman. But I love him because he comes from another CW show, the Vampire Diaries Originals world, so this is exciting to me. Because he's creepy AF.
So I'm confused because he's a Daxamite. His weakness is lead, which is like similar to Kryptonians that have an aversion to lead. They can't see through it. But what I'm curious is about, like, his last name is L. So is he from the House of L?
I don't know.
Do you guys know Mon-El? I'm telling you, that is a hole in my DC game. I don't know Mon-El. I love the look of the character. And it's a total Superman colors, but like opposite, you know, like blue cape.
Yep.
Red costume.
Yeah.
Kind of cool.
This guy is very, very creepy, though, so we're going to see some weird things, I bet, coming. But we've got more casting for Supergirl. The last one, Miss Martian, who's everybody in the chat has been talking about this whole time, being played by Sharon Leal, who I don't know, but oh my God, she's a looker.
She is very hot.
Yeah, she's hot.
This is exciting to me. I think I know her mostly from, I think, Young Justice, right? Like,
I didn't know the actress. But the
character. Yeah. So another good question is, like, how is she related to Martian Manhunter? Familially? Familially?
Are you saying, are they familiar?
Are they
cuz? Family. Familially.
Familially.
I know. Shame on me. Okay. Shame on me not knowing Mon-El. I apologize. At least I'm being honest.
Mon-El is the half-brother, they said. All right. Let's move on to Arrow, because I know you're really excited about your man,
well,
Dolph.
Okay. Yes, I am. and I still... I was not a huge fan of Arrow last season, but what I have heard that they're doing this season is that Speedy's going to be out. What's his name? Diggle is going to be in the military, and it's just going to be like Felicity and Arrow, like back down to the two of them as being the only.
But then we're bringing in all other people,
other copycat vigilantes, but not on that team. And that I kind of like. I like that dynamic.
That Felicity was the, because we saw in the trailer, the guy that was working for Felicity that created that thing that got her leg back.
Yeah.
He's like training to be a hero now too. And trying to be part of the team.
Yeah, he's going to be something. Yeah, eventually.
Yeah, so there's
he's going to get some powers.
But then I thought I heard that we were not doing any more flashbacks, but now your boy Dolph is supposed to be in all the flashbacks.
Yeah.
So
this is the last season we're going to get flashbacks.
Yeah.
And Dolph Lundgren is going to be in the flashbacks, not to be brought up to the present, or
no.
Maybe they're just keeping that secret.
They haven't said anything about the present. They've just talked about the flashbacks.
That is exciting to me.
Yeah, it is exciting.
A lot of people are calling KG Beast. Do we have a KG Beast in the CW world? And I don't think we do. That's a good call. You want to see that because he's Ivan Drago, and he'd like, dust off that 1984 Russian accent again.
Cool. That would be very cool. All right, let's get into Legends.
Okay, Legends of Tomorrow.
We have a 13-episode order.
Which I think is great.
Which is absolutely awesome, and CW is moving in this direction. That's what we had last year for Legends. I think we had 13, maybe we had 16 last year for Legends, honestly. You guys let me know in the chat. I don't remember.
By the way, people are pointing out in the chat roll right now that for Max Landis's Superman pitch, Mon-El is featured, and I will definitely check that out. I always love to read the wild rantings and ravings of Max Landis. He's a fun character.
I also like that the chat thought that I was saying that there's a dolphin on Arrow now. That's what we're doing.
Dolphin. There is.
That's what I was trying to say.
And very intelligent mammal.
Yep, dolphin. All right. Instead of a shark or croc. All right. 13 episodes for Legends. We also have, we had some news about Vixen. Oh, thank you, Zach. Yeah, there were 16 episodes of the first season, so we cut back to 13, which is good, because that did end up dragging a little bit, I felt like, in Legends last year. Vixen, who we know is not recast, but they have a new Vixen coming in. She also came over from CW Vampire Diaries World, and apparently she's kicking butt. Like, looks awesome.
So it's a different character with the Vixen powers. Right. I know they just released, like, an image of her, like, beasting out.
Different
time, we're
going to
see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is very exciting. We're getting into this, like, World War II era Justice Society of America that's going to be happening on Legends. Legends, to me, is the most exciting show because, like, it could go anywhere. It could do anything. It's got the time travel. It just doesn't seem, it doesn't have to exist on the same plane of reality as all the other
JSA
shows.
And the JSA and everything
that is all really exciting. So
More casting
for Legends. Yeah. People are calling it. They want you to talk about Lance Henriksen.
Yeah. So Lance.
Go ahead.
What were you saying?
No, go ahead.
No, it was a creepy whisper. I wanted to know.
No, I was just saying his name in a creepy way.
Oh!
You just have to say it.
This guy is a character actor that's been around forever.
Okay. I like the way you do it best, though. Obsidian. Adam, join us now.
Obsidian.
Yeah, scary. Definitely creepy. cast on Legends. And that was pretty much the casting for Legends. Just in general.
So, but also about Obsidian, I think typically, or at least in some iterations, this is a younger member of the JSA. But again, like we were talking about with Legends, this is obviously he's an older guy. So he's going to be an older version or relative of Obsidian.
We don't even know what year we're in. We don't know where we are. We don't know when we are. So we've got a lot to figure out.
I agree with George McInnes. I like Legends. I don't know.
I like Legends too. I think that 13 episodes is a very good amount.
I also always think that it's easiest to like the first season of any of these shows. It's like when you get to two or three seasons, because they're so long sometimes, it's really hard for them not to be repeating themselves.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think, it is good they cut it back a little bit, because they can do a more complete
I think that's a better way to go. Yeah. I wish they were all 16 episodes.
I'm really nervous to say this because I don't remember whether it was you last week, Adam, or whether it was Mike that was really pushing for this, but the rumors that CW is getting a Batman were squashed.
Yes.
They were squashed. CW is not getting Batman. I know we talked about...
This makes me very happy.
Oh, so really? Mike was the one who was really pushing for it.
Yeah, then. I don't want it. Oh. I don't want it. I want to keep some things special. I want to keep some things pure.
Sacred.
Yeah, I don't want to see Batman on TV. I don't.
So this,
you know, Batman's been on TV.
Unless it's played by Adam West, I don't want to see it.
This is what Eric Goldman tweeted. Rumors that CW show are trying to get Batman are not true, says Kreisberg. Hashtag TCA16. So it seems like that was just squashed like a little...
So we get plenty of animated Batman where he can do anything. Batman looks great in the movies right now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to overdo the Bat. That's just my opinion.
So let's leave CW land for a second and let's go over to Gotham.
Oh!
Because Gotham got a lot of casting news, and one of these pieces of news is I don't even know whether to call it sexy or a little too young. I got all different kind of weird feels when I saw Poison Ivy.
You're talking about the girl that played Ivy in the first couple of seasons has now
been recast
post-pubescence.
And this is what she's looking like. So... it's like she's totally hot. She's very young looking. I don't even know. This was the first image of her. How are you guys feeling?
Well, first of all, why doesn't she have the same name as Pamela Isley from the comics? Like, why are they going with a different name? Her name is like Ivy something.
Because I think that the first one that they cast did. I don't think this is her.
They have the same name. I think it's Ivy they went with. They called her Ivy. So it could be this kind of thing that Gotham kind of does where they said, and I know we're going to get up to this in the next story, that like a lot of the classic Batman villains that they're casting are actually early iterations and not necessarily the same version that the Dark Knight eventually faces.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. How do you feel like she looks?
I mean... Yeah, I think that's a little Poison Ivy trail bait, a little bit. Yeah.
I think there's no way. This is my prediction for Gotham. There's no way that Bruce makes it out of this season as a virgin. There's just no way. Like they've been upping the temptation from season
to
season. So you're
guessing some sensuality on the show.
I'm saying there's going to be some sensuality on Gotham.
All right, let's move on to the other people that might be coming to Gotham. So they've announced Killer Croc.
Or an early version.
An early version. Solomon Grundy, an early version.
Some kind of zombie-like thing.
I'm excited about.
Born on a Monday?
Harley.
And possibly Harley Quinn.
Right.
Potentially.
Or, again, a version of. And they said she could already have been on there.
Yeah, which, I mean, Gotham, like you said, they do kind of readapt. And it makes sense because what works for the comic wouldn't necessarily work for the show, especially with a show that's more of an origin tale. Because Harley at this point would just be probably, you know, getting her degree in psychology. Like, right. She wouldn't be, I mean, anything villainous at all.
So it's a proto version of Killer Croc. Kazen
Strife in the chat role believes that Gotham as a show is likened to the excrement from a dog.
Great. So just, a proto-version of Killer Croc and a forerunner of Harley Quinn.
The way that I think of Gotham... Okay, and this is when I started really liking Gotham. Think of it as like a fan fiction version of your comics. Like instead of having it as like a comic basis, because everyone loses it over like, mm-hmm. oh, they switched this character.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it like a readaptation of like a fanfic version and then you'll love it.
Yeah, okay. I gotta catch up. I have like 10 episodes in the last season.
Really?
I'm gonna take this time and watch. It's hard. So many shows.
And then also we got a first look at Mad Hatter from Gotham.
Which I think looks cool. Like this was a character I mostly know from Batman the Animated Series, like those Alice in Wonderland kind of episodes. Like I love that character. He had like that mental control with the hats, the cards that he put on people. And I think they're going to do something like that. And the guy looks great. I mean,
Benedict Samuel, who is in The Walking Dead. Yeah, he does. He looks creepy. And that hair, the stash, he's got that look though. So that'll be interesting to see. So much TV news.
Very Doctor Who villain, I think.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Totally could be a Doctor Who villain.
And I did forget to mention, guys, when we were talking about CW, not on CW, but on CWC.
Oh, big news. Big news, guys.
You can get online is that there is a show coming called Freedom Fighters The Ray, which is featuring its first gay superhero lead.
Right.
Which is awesome. Actually, check out a lot of the stuff over on
CW.
We
have a gay character on Arrow.
Yeah, we do. We have a gay character.
Gay superhero was about going to be a superhero.
And also on Flash, but
yeah.
This is the first superhero lead who is gay, so that's exciting.
And we know that the seed is where they plant the seeds that will come to, they will flower on the CW.
Well, that's what happened with Vixen.
Yeah.
In a different kind of way, but we got her for an episode, and CW does take care of their own, so this is really cool.
It would be really interesting. This is a great sort of baby step, but it would be interesting to see if you did a superhero show that had a gay male lead, how that would play with, like, male audiences, you know? And it's very interesting. I think it could work.
We'll see how it does on Seed. I think that's what probably they're doing. They're probably saying, all right, here's the show. What's the audience look like? How can we play with this character? How can we play with the show? So we'll see how it is. But knowing CW, I'm sure it'll be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any more casting or anything?
That is, as of when we started the show, what our TV time looked like.
Wow.
I know people, I got a few tweets about not talking about Preacher enough last week.
Okay.
I don't even know what to say because we don't, it was crazy. It was crazy. The Jesse stuff, the Tulip stuff, the way that we end up with the everything and the destroying of the church.
Oh,
stuff. Sorry.
No, this was really cool. When I was doing the red carpet, I got to mention to both, to Evan Goldberg.
Oh, you did.
That I loved Preacher, and I'm so happy they're doing it. And for all of you, the Boys fans out there, The Boys is happening. I think it's going to be happening on Stars or Cinemax. The Boys is like the other series that I was reading at the time of like, cool. I guess it was actually years after Preacher, but like, The Boys is great too. It's about a group of people that police really corrupt, horrible superheroes. Great series. It's got an end. There's like 8 collections of it now, so you could go check that out. And I thank them. I just love that they blew up that whole town, and now we're moving on, and now we can get the road trip show next season.
Yeah, we can see what's going on with Grandma, and we can do a lot of different things.
Oh, yeah. And I also want to say some people were asking about the Telltale games. I have not played it yet. I'm waiting for a night. I think tomorrow night I might have a date night with myself where I'm just going to play this Telltale game.
Drunk video games? Drunk
yes.
gaming? Yeah.
Yes. My concussion is fine. Thank you if you're referring to when I fell down last week. Also, the reports of my zombie-like drug addiction were greatly overrated. I was just really tired last week. I apologize for that. It was a little low energy. Is there anything else we have to talk about? Elena, why don't you tell us about what you're doing, where people can find you?
Yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan, on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And if you're in Houston in September or Hawaii in October, come out to the Amazing Comic Con and check me out there.
Cool.
Oh, you'd be really lucky.
You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I'm also over on TV Fights at Screen Junkies. That's Tuesdays at 4 p.m. And all over After Buzz TV. And also at this table, staring at Adam, waiting for him to put himself over, as Johnny would say.
I just want to say, East Blue Drew, did anybody see Matt Damon reading for Arrow? He's referring to the first episode that they did for Comic-Con for the Kevin Smith show Geeking Out.
Oh.
Watch Matt Damon do the Cole read for Arrow. It is so good. You're like, oh, that's why you're an amazing actor. It
he
is
kills
so.
It?
Oh my God, does he kill it? You want to see it immediately. It's like it's reading Oliver Queen from The Dark Knight without his arm. Like, and he's like, if you get a shot at the big blue Boy Scout, like, it's great. And
oh
the
my
fact,
God.
If it's really a cold read, then he's too good. So yeah, thanks for calling that out. That was awesome. I thought that was amazing. Yeah, guys, you can find me tonight on Man vs. Child. I think we have a new episode on FYI, Young Prodigy Chefs Cooking Against grown-ups. I think we have the comic book adaptation RIPD on FX Movie Download this week.
Woo-hoo.
Give it a second watch or a first watch. It's actually not that bad if you have modest expectations.
Ringing
and when you're watching it with Sasha Pearl Raver and myself, it becomes exponentially better. Go to Doghouse Eat Sausage. Follow me at Adam Gertler.
Awesome.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in.
For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principal.
I promise you, the dawn is coming.